Good morning, everyone. As we gather here to worship our God, please quiet your hearts and minds in preparation.
Good morning, Fair Plain Presbyterian Church. Happy Palm Sunday, and a warm welcome to everyone joining on live stream or CD this morning, which is, well, everyone. And warm welcome to those who are regularly part of Fair Plain and those who are visiting with us for the pandemic. After the pandemic's over, if you're able to make our 9:30 service at 210 West Napier Avenue in Benton Harbor, we'd be delighted to welcome you. If you have any announcements, could you jump to the next slide? Honey, could you jump to the next slide? If you have any announcements or joys or concerns, please text them to 269-332-1118, which is the number on your screen. Please text them to the number on your screen. A new feature we've got is you can leave a voicemail with your prayer request or even with your announcement. If you just leave that voicemail, then we're hoping to be able to play those. Also, if you're having trouble streaming at some point, the service will be archived in the section down below this. If you're having a hard time streaming live, just wait till about 10:45 or 11, and it should all be archived properly there. Next, in accordance with the governor's executive order and what I believe to be sound judgment, I'm coming live from our home office. Kristen's filling in for Bill Cundiff this morning so that he can stay home too, so some of the elements may not be as full-featured or aesthetically pleasing as what you're used to. Also, we're using this time when we're all at home to potty train Ryan before his sibling arrives, so please pray for us. That's also why he may be around and making more noise than usual. The service is a hybrid. Parts where I'm speaking are live like this, The liturgist part with Leslie and the prelude and the postlude, they were recorded by Muyu and Leslie last week, and the hymns were recorded on Palm Sunday a year ago, so I asked Bill to pull those out of the archive so we can sing them again together, which is why Chris Corbett is the chorister. Vladimir sent me the videos of Anna and Marina for the offertory and the anthem, and any footage you see of people in the sanctuary is from our archives. As I mentioned, text or call your joys or concerns in, leave a voicemail, and Kristen will play it during that time. My phone won't ring from that because it's set not to, and I'll double-check and make sure it's set not to. So you can leave a voicemail, and Kristen will play it during joys and concerns. Also, the executive director of our local Meals on Wheels has some extra meals for those 60 and older who need them. If you could use, I think they have a week's worth. If you could use one, please contact me or one of your elders. We'll be sharing communion today, separately from our own homes, but together. So if you haven't already, I'd invite you to prepare a cup of grape juice and some kind of bread. If you don't have either of them, you can use another kind of juice or maybe wine with or without alcohol. Or if you don't have them, tea or even water. If you don't have bread, maybe a cracker or something that's a staple in your home. Kristen baked this lovely loaf last night. Also, if there's a call and response and you want to hear much in the way of response, besides Leslie, you'll need to say it yourself. And I'm going to check and see if there's any other announcements. And I'm seeing none. Please join Leslie in the call to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Please pray with me. Dear God, we are in need of your arrival. We are in need of a celebration. In need of hope. So this Palm Sunday, we celebrate your coming into a city full of people who were looking for your salvation and who did not need to do social distancing. Hosanna, Lord, save us. Now I invite you to stand and sing our first hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. If you have a blue hymnal, it's on page 88, or you can just watch it on the screen. Confession. With my voice I cry to the Lord. With my voice I make supplication to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit is faint, you know my way. God, we confess that we are tired. We are tired of being locked in our houses. We are tired of not sharing hugs with friends who live elsewhere. Tired of working from home. Tired of being stuck at home with nothing to do. Tired of working in high-risk jobs because they are necessary to preserve life. Tired of watching numbers of cases and deaths continue to go up. God, we are tired of all of this. We confess that our exhaustion has made it hard to also think of those who do not have homes they can go to, who will be unable to pay for needed medical care, and who are dealing with repercussions of this virus that we are not. We confess that we sometimes take out our anger at this situation on people who have nothing to do with it. So forgive us, gentle God, and help us find new energy to shelter at home safely and sustainably, and to be kind to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now join with your silent prayers.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We're reconciled to God and we're reconciled to one another. Alleluia. Amen. Since we're reconciled to Christ and to one another, let us share Christ's peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all and with your families and pets who are sheltering with you.
And also with you.
Okay, all right. What? Yeah, we can go down.
Since we have been reconciled to God and to one another and shared Christ's peace, let us respond by giving our tithes and our offerings. If you have a check you're mailing, please hold it in your hand. If you are using some form of online donation through your bank or your retirement account, put your hand on your computer or your phone just to make something relevant to your online giving. If you can't afford to give today, or this isn't the week you usually give, just hold your hand palms up to show that you're giving yourself to God.
Sing hallelujah.
Let us pray. God, we do not have palm branches, but we have the palms on our hands. We lift them up to you with our gifts and ourselves. Please bless these gifts to your service and us with an understanding of being your beloved wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning is from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. You can follow along using the link above the video or on the screen. Listen for the word of the Lord. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and you shall be married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Uphold your walls, O Jerusalem. I have posted sentinels all day and all night. They shall not ever be silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it renowned throughout the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink the wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink in my holy courts. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up an ensign over the peoples. The Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you to Anna and Marina for playing for us and singing for us this morning, and to Vladimir for mailing me the DVD from 3 years ago that they recorded for that. Our Old Testament reading is, our Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. The link, as usual, is straight above here for the New Testament reading or second reading, or you can just follow along on the screen. Listen for the Gospel of the Lord. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he'll send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
Lord!
The crowds that went ahead of him followed and were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Palm Sunday, for a beautiful, bright Palm Sunday outside. We thank you for birds chirping and singing, and for palm branches, and for everything that this day has come to mean. We ask that you will help us to hear your voice anew in your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I've had a few layers of thought about Palm Sunday over the years. The first one I remember is just this excitement that Jesus rides in, and Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and it's just, you know, it's that beautiful childhood understanding of Palm Sunday. I guess I need to be over here. This is a lovely image that you'll see. The credits are in the bulletin. We can turn that off now. Thanks. So there's that childhood level of understanding of this, that this is just part of the story, which is a really good, it's a decent understanding. But as I got older, I started encountering other ways of thinking about Palm Sunday. One of them is this recognition that it's kind of a subversion of what people are expecting, because if you understand some of Israel's history, they've been held captive for a very long time. They've been under bondage over and over again. Their history has been one of being hauled off into one exile or another, and now they're living in Jerusalem in an occupied country. And as always, that's important to remember. They're occupied into the... So that's the past, right? But the future, too, is that Jesus is not going to act as the king they're looking for, because all the prophets are talking about this king who will ride in and who will conquer and defeat all of Israel's enemies and just win, you know? It's a sort of military, triumphant victory, right? And that's what people are expecting. So when Jesus rides in, he's sort of living up to those expectations that he's about to completely flip. In fact, speaking of palm branches, there's this story of another great leader in Israel's history named Judas Maccabeus, and at one point he rides in on a donkey and then proceeds to cleanse the temple, as Jesus does in the two verses after the scripture reading for this morning. He cleanses the temple in a slightly different way, but if you see the two stories side by side, you can really tell that it's connected, that Jesus is living into these very specific expectations. but he's subverting them. And that was my second layer. So the first one was, wow, Jesus riding in. The second one was, whoa, Jesus is subverting expectations here. He's like, he's living into what they're expecting, and then he's about to completely change everything else by, on Good Friday later this week, several thousand years ago, dying on the cross for the sins of the world. So he becomes a different kind of savior, and he doesn't live up to our expectations. What we expect on Palm Sunday versus what happens on Easter turn out to be very different. But this week, I came into a third understanding of this passage. It's that even though Jesus' reign doesn't come in the way that people hope, like a hailstorm, as some have suggested, the people might have been hoping for, Jesus' reign comes in gently. But also, Jesus rides in. This is huge. Because for people like me, for whom it's really important to be right about God, this is huge. Because the people who are throwing down their cloaks and the palm branches in front of Jesus, they're wrong about what Jesus is coming to do. They have a very specific set of messianic expectations that he's going to ride in and save the day and give Rome the boot. Jesus knows about these expectations, and he doesn't come in and tell them, oh, that's completely wrong, that's not what I'm here for, that's not what I'm going to do. Jesus actually tells his disciples to go get a colt so he can live into that misplaced expectation. That's incredible. But I don't think it's quite as incredible as why. Which, I'm not Jesus. I don't fully know his motives. But I have a suspicion. Just based on a little bit of experience, my suspicion is that Jesus is living into these expectations because he knows that these people need a win. Jesus knows that these people need a win. They have been under the boot of Rome for so long, and Jesus knows, he knows he's not going to go in and give Rome the boot out and set the people free in the way that they're hoping for or expecting for. But he gives them this. He fulfills this messianic prophecy, and he rides in on a donkey. The donkey, like the ancient kings of Israel, would have ridden in triumph. Not in triumph, but in peace, in times of peace. They would ride in on a donkey. Jesus gives his people this win. And there's this spark of hope, and you can see it in the crowds running ahead of him and following him and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! You can see the hope sparking. That's not what Jesus is going to do. That he's not going to be the kind of king that they're hoping. But right now, he is. You ever been there? You ever been, like, you ever really need just some kind of a win? And it's not really the kind of win that you really need. Like, what the people of Israel think they need is to be liberated from Rome. And they do need that. But this ultimate Jesus coming, dying on the cross for the sins of the world, that's what they really need. But in the middle of that, Jesus gives them the win that they really wanted. You know, it's not an ultimate win. It's sort of a temporal win. It's like a give us this day our daily bread kind of win. You know, I've been there where God gave me what I needed in the moment. That wasn't really what I needed, but God gave me a win. God gave me what I needed in the moment, even though it wasn't the ultimate need. Friends, isn't God good? Isn't God good? The funny thing is that I thought that because I was wrong about God back then, that my experience of God wasn't God. That, like, if I had been in the crowd, I might have thought, oh, Jesus riding in on the donkey wasn't really Jesus showing us who he really is. Jesus on the cross is. But Jesus riding in on the donkey shows us a very different side. Or maybe even the same side. Jesus sacrificing to give the people the win that they needed. These oppressed people who've been trampled down. Jesus is sacrificing. Jesus sacrifices, telling them everything right now so that they will know who he really is, that he really cares for them. He cares for this need that they have right now for a win before he goes and gives them the ultimate win that they really need. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you give us both what we ultimately need and what we need in the moment, that you give us life, and that you also give us the manna, the bread that we need today, that you give us this day our daily bread. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We find another example of this on Good Friday, which we commemorate, as I said, this coming Friday, and also in the feast that's before us today. For Holy Communion this Sunday, I would invite you to lend Christ your table. On the first week of Holy Week long ago, people throughout Judea gathered at the dusty gates of Jerusalem, primed with Hosanna in their hearts, and Jesus asked to borrow a donkey. On the Thursday that followed, Jesus rented or was given John Mark's mother's upper room to celebrate the Passover with the disciples. On the afternoon of the resurrection, Jesus was invited into a house in Emmaus and asked to break the bread of hospitality. Ironically, I'm borrowing this communion liturgy from Marin Tirabassa, a pastor who retired from the United Church of Christ. So, lend Christ your table and your cup and your heart. For as the disciple told the person who loaned Jesus the donkey, the Lord has need of it. Let's pray. Next slide. Next slide. Let's pray. We're one bread, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered even across this country, we are one in Christ.
Mama! Mommy!
In our many kitchens and living rooms and offices with small children, we are one in Christ. So rest your hands lightly upon these elements which we set aside today to be sacred. Let us ask God's blessing upon them. Next. Gentle Redeemer, there's no lockdown on your blessing and no quarantine on grace. Send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing upon every table where you're one of your children or more shelters in place. That this bread may be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out to give hope to all. Risen Christ, live in us that we may live in you.
Bye-bye.
Breathe in us that we may breathe in you. We remember that Paul the Apostle wrote letters to congregations throughout the places we now call Greece, Turkey, and Macedonia, and they were the first remote worship services. Our online service then has a long heritage. The communion words that Paul sent to the church at Corinth were these: "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us, in our many homes and places, receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven. Let us in our many places receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing. We are one in Christ in the cup we share. Let us pray in thanksgiving for this meal of grace, rejoicing that by the very method of our worship we've embodied the truth that God's love is not limited by buildings made with human hands, not contained in human ceremonies, but blows as free as the Spirit in all places. Let's pray the unison prayer together. Spirit of Christ, you have blessed our tables and our lives. May the eating of this bread give us courage to speak faith and act love, not only in church sanctuaries, but out here in your precious world. And may the drinking of this cup renew our hope even in the midst of pandemic. Wrap your hopeful presence around all whose bodies, spirits, and hearts need healing. And let us become your compassion and your safe refuge. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and join in hymn number 89, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, verses 1 and 2. Come to the part of our service now where we share joys and concerns before God and before one another. Remember again the number to call. Oh dear. The number to call or text is 269-332-1118. That was on the screen, but now it's gone away and I didn't transfer that for this week. Again, 269-332-1118. I got a prayer request from Sally Barker. Her nephew Tony's mother-in-law, Linda, was just hospitalized with COVID-19 in Lansing. She's only in her early 50s and already on a ventilator within 4 hours. Her daughter, Linda, lives in Battle Creek. They're devastated because they can't go see her or anything because the hospital's on total lockdown. She has a history of lung problems, which makes things worse. Her name again is Linda, and she's Sally Barker's nephew's mother-in-law. We got a prayer request from Judy Kuhlman in Florida. Don Myers has had a mild stroke, which affected his vision. He says he's getting better. He's on an anticoagulant drug, and he's not driving. Phyllis had an episode of chest pain and was hospitalized for 2 days. They did a heart catheter, and they didn't find anything wrong. Apparently, they're both at their home in Florida now, and they're doing fine, but they would welcome prayers. We also got a prayer request from... I'll get it up on my phone here. Where are you? Got a prayer request from Rosemary. Could you put that up? Where is it? Sorry, I gotta read that off that screen because it's not on mine. Rosemary Holloway is asking for prayers for herself, having trouble with her asthma. Are there other prayer requests this morning? Let's have a look, because mine apparently are not coming in. So they might have to come in on my computer. Nope. Any messages? Nope. All right, then. Also continuing to be in prayer for our world and our country, as the number of cases globally that have happened total has crossed 1 million already, and there are over 300,000 cases in the United States. Do we have a number for Michigan? What was the number for Michigan? It was over. We crossed 10,000 here in Michigan last week. So, let's pray. God, we thank you for your tender, loving care for us in all of our separate homes where we are praying and hoping for your salvation. We thank you that you rode in on a donkey then and that you still ride in peace into our lives to give us love and care. God, we pray for Linda, who was hospitalized with the coronavirus in Lansing and is already on a ventilator, and for her daughter, and Tony, who are not able to see her, and for all those who aren't able to see their loved ones who are in hospitals or care homes because of lockdowns to protect everyone there. We pray for Don and Phyllis Myers, and we pray for Ryan as he's being potty trained. We pray also for all those who are feeling lonely and isolated in this time and who have to stay home. For those who are dying away from friends and family, for the friends and family who have to watch their loved ones die at a distance. We pray for those who are risking their health to provide essential services while the rest of us stay home to flatten the curve. God, we pray for those in authority that they may make wise decisions for public health and safety. God of love, we ask that you will hold us in your arms, all of us, as we wish that we could hold those we love in our arms. We ask that you will hold them in yours. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and join in hymn number 91, also on your screen. Ride on in majesty, that's verses 1 and 3.
Majesty, all from the ground. times of the night, look down with sadness and dreaming eyes to see the approaching sacrifice.
Now may you know the goodness of God, who loves us even when we're wrong. Even when we're wrong about God, and who is kind even to people whose expectations and hopes are mixed up and misplaced. To God be the glory forever and ever. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all on this Palm Sunday forward and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.